भक्तो शिमेश खाचेति रहस्यम हि तदुत्तमम्। We are reading this evening from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 3. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Therefore, you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna begins by telling Arjuna that Sanatana Dharma, or the science of God, it is the most ancient of all sciences. It is the most secret of all secrets. That it has been repeated since time immemorial by the great Vaishnavas, by the various avatars, incarnations of the Lord. In fact, he describes to Arjuna that long, long time ago, I instructed this great imperishable science to the sun god Vibhishwan, who in turn instructed to Manu, the father of mankind, who in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Evam paramparam tapta imam rajarshaya vidho. That this supreme science has been received through disciplic succession. But in course of time, this transcendental knowledge is lost. Because the nature of this material world is absolutely everything is deteriorated by time. Of course, time can only influence that which is composed of the inferior energy of matter. The soul, God, and transcendental knowledge of God is factually above and beyond the powers and the influences of time and space. Krishna explains in the Gita, aparayamitashkvanyam prakritim virime param. Jiva bhuta mahabaho yayetam dharyate jagat. Besides this inferior nature, there is a spiritual nature, a divine nature. Which is imperishable, which is unapproachable by the almighty power of time. But for those who have separated their consciousness from their relationship with God, everyone is moment after moment being victimized by time. The time factor is all powerful in this world. Krishna, in the 11th chapter of the Gita, describes to Arjuna that he, in the form of time, is all devouring, consuming everyone, everywhere. In fact, the Bhagavatam describes that with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. But for one who utilizes his valuable time to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with every rising and setting of the sun, such a person is one day closer to eternal life. Therefore, what does intelligence mean? In the material sense, intelligence means one who can make his brain like a computer. and store so much data, and through the printout of his words or his actions, transmit that data. But a computer can do that. That is not the purpose of human life. Actually, a computer can do it better than us. Human intelligence means how to utilize our time for the highest purpose of life. Human intelligence means not to waste time, knowing that one moment lost cannot be bought back for all the wealth in the entire creation. Anything you lose in this world, you can somehow or other get a replacement. But a second lost can never be replaced. Therefore, the greatest wealth we have is every second that God has given us in this human form of life. And what are those seconds meant for? They are meant for remembrance of Krishna. Remembrance of the supreme goal, Krishna. And in that remembrance, to express in a grateful state of mind, service, loving service to the Lord. The mind is very restless. The mind is very unsteady. Chanchalam. It is described in the Gita. Yatho yatho nishchalate manas chanchalam ashtatam tatastatam niyam yaitad atman yena vasham nayet. That this mind is very flickering and unsteady. It is constantly trying to waste our time. Even when we sit down to chant the holy names, how valuable those moments are. We set maybe 1, 2, 3 hours aside in the day to do nothing but chant the holy name, japa. And yet the mind is such a cheating demon that although it's taking you throughout the day, engaging you in so many passionate activities simply to make money, to get a little more prestige, for the security of this world. And you say, just this 1, 2 hours, I'm going to give it exclusively for Krishna and Krishna only. But does your mind allow you to do it? So wandering here, there, and everywhere else, what is the mind, what is Maya through the mind trying to do? Waste your time. Waste your time with needless thoughts of superficiality. Huh? Every businessman knows that real success in business is utilizing your time correctly. I don't know in India so much, but I know in America, every business firm, they sell different types of paraphernalia to help better organize your time. Huh? Why? In business, time is money. And this is a very significant point. Every businessman knows time is money. But what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Time I am. Time is Krishna. So what does that mean? For the businessman who is too much material attached, his God is money. But for a devotee, his God is Krishna. And he understands that money is Lakshmi, and she is meant only for Krishna. If you separate Lakshmi from Narayan, she's no longer Lakshmi. She becomes Durga. And Durga has a trident. And the three prongs of that trident represent the three modes of material nature. And they're going like that in your heart. Adi Atmaka, Adi Bhautaka, Adi Daivaka. and you cannot escape them. So therefore, how fickle and cheating our mind is by trying to cheat us of the valuable moments of this human form of life. Govinda Das has prayed, Bajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare Tulabamanava Janama Satsange Taraha Evavo Sindare. This is a beautiful song by one of the great associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's praying to his mind. My dear mind, please, I beg you, engage yourself in the loving service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Nanda Nandana. Please. Why? Durlabha manava janama satsangi. Because this human birth is so very rare. After transmigrating through 8,400,000 species of life, a last one takes the human form of life. And in this human form of life, what is the most valuable and precious of all wealth? The association of sadhus. There is nothing greater than that. Because in that association, we can utilize our time for the highest purpose of life, hearing, chanting, and remembering the glories of the Lord, which is the eternal occupation of the soul. Sita atapa vatavarishana edina jamini jagire vipale sevanu kripana turachana chapala shukalapa lagire. Govinda Das is singing this beautiful song at the very end part of his life. He's an old man, and he's thinking back of how Maya has cheated him for so many years. You know, Maya is so tricky. He is so clever. We think a second is insignificant. So to waste a second is no loss. Huh? And the present moment is all a matter of seconds. Really, life is just a series of seconds, moments. And at every moment we think, next moment maybe, but now it's only a moment, it's only a second. And then when you become old like Govinda Das, you start thinking back, my God, those seconds became minutes, those minutes became hours, those hours became years, those years became decades. Now I'm an old man and I've wasted my life. Second by second. So many sleepless nights I fruitlessly toiled and served the witch of materialistic people who are simply trying to encourage me and engage me in material activities and trying to enjoy pleasure and trying to avoid pain. I've toiled fruitlessly. And then he prays, Edana Jovana Putra Parijana Ite Kiyache Paratine Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Thala Mala Bajahun Haripada Nitire. My wealth, my wife, my children, my society, all my prestige in this world, everything I've lived for, dedicated my entire life with blood, sweat, and tears to achieve and to protect. What is the nature of these things? Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. It is like one drop of water on the leaf of a lotus. The nature of a lotus, it is very slippery. And any water that comes on it is there for a moment, and it's gone. Govinda Das explains, that is the nature of all these things. They're here today, tomorrow gone away. And although I've dedicated my entire life to that, all I have to show for all these things is a lonely, frustrated heart. Bhajahun Hari Padaniti Re, please my mind, just worship Krishna. Just take shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. It is the only refuge in this world. And how to take shelter? He's telling his mind. Now Govinda Das is becoming a Goswami. Mind, I'm telling you what you must do now. I'm no longer taking orders from you. Sravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasyare pujana saki jana atmanivedana Govinda dasa bilasare. By following the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, rendering personal service, offering puja, offering prayers, befriending the Lord, and surrendering everything to the Lord, we can always, at every moment, be engaged in Krishna conscious activities. We can utilize our moments, those precious, valuable moments, to invest in the eternal account of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says in Gita, Neha bikrama nasosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobya. That any moment that is utilized in the loving service, Lord, it is never lost. It remains forever on your spiritual account. Everything will perish at the time of death, save and except whatever you have done for Krishna. Therefore, let us make our priorities in life realistic. People of this world, who are religious even, who are devotees of God, their first priority is to make money. Why? To make their family give them some sense of security. And then they have a priority of their social obligations. I must go to weddings and marriages, and I must go to various inauguration ceremonies, and I must do all these other social birthdays and everything else. And then the next obligation is to relax. Because after all, after going to all these weddings and birthdays and social obligations and working so hard in the office and doing all these other activities, I need some time to just be alone and relax and just watch television or whatever. And then if I have some spare time after that, then I will associate with sadhus. Then I will chant the holy name. Then I will offer some puja. Ah. If you make Krishna last priority, you become his last priority. Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. Those who make Krishna first priority, Krishna makes you first priority. Human life is meant to make Krishna first priority. Less than that means animal civilization. According to the Bhagavatam, in this age of Kali Yuga, basically, what is controlling this world is two-legged animals. So-called human beings who are simply making all arrangements for what is available to the animals, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They have all those things. To put Krishna first, that is intelligence. So Krishna is explaining here that Arjuna, you can understand this great mystery of the supreme science because you are my devotee. Because you are making me the priority of your life. Because you are humbling yourself before me. Tadvati pranipatena paribrashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatu darshan. How much we should be aspiring for the truth. How much we should make that the priority of our life. And Krishna has sent so many divine personalities who taught us by their example really what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. So yesterday we celebrated a very auspicious day. It was the appearance day on the full moon of the month of Magh of one of the great, great Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas. His name was Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So I'd like to speak for just a few minutes of the example that Narottam Das Thakur gave during the youth of his life of how much there was a burning and longing for Krishna in his life. And of course, we cannot imitate such great personalities, but it is our sacred duty in life to hear submissively the glories of such a person and follow in their footsteps, follow the principles that they have given. So Narottam, his birth was something very special. He was a divinely empowered being who had descended from the spiritual world to show us, through his example, the highest standard by which we should follow. So when Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, he came to Ramakeli. There he first met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. After doing this, he came to the river Padma. This is in Bengal. And he started calling out in a very loud voice, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And as he was saying, tears were flowing from his eyes and he was just enraptured in such love. And his devotees, they have heard him speak about this Narottam before. They understood somebody great must be coming by the name of Narottam. And he was looking toward a village named Ketori Gram. And he was calling out, Narottam, Narottam. And the devotees could understand that he was calling a very great and special personality to appear at that place. So Narottam, Lord Nityananda, was taken aside by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said that I am going to put my divine prema in this river. And I want to keep it here. And some years later, after Narottam appears, he will bathe in this river. And at that time, he will be flooded, his heart, with my love for Krishna. So the next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took bath in the river. And when he took bath, it started flooding over. Shortly after that, Narottam Das was born. He was a very special personality. There is a samskara where you give the child his first grains. At the time when they were to give him the first grains, he just turned his head away in disgust. And they tried again. And in disgust, he turned his head away. And everyone loved Narottam very much. And all relatives and all family members, they had beautiful ceremony, all decorations and nice arrangements to celebrate this auspicious day of his taking the first grains. But he refused to take the first grains. They were thinking, this is terribly inauspicious. And everybody around was feeling very, very uncomfortable and disappointed. Again and again, he just pushed these grains away. Then a sadhu came with Mahaprasad. And he said, try giving him this. And Narottam immediately took the Mahaprasad. Not only did he take the first grain, but he ate all of it. He was a baby. He ate all of it. And then all the devotees and parents thought, he is a very special personality. And they made a vow, from now on, we will only give him Mahaprasad. So, later in his life, he met one great devotee of the Lord, whose name was Krishnadas. He was a very old man. And in his association, he would always hear the loving pastimes of the Lord. And hearing the loving pastimes of the Lord, he lost interest in everything but Krishna. And he used to just cry for Krishna. One day, Lord Nityananda appeared to him in a dream and told him that tomorrow morning at sunrise, you must go bathe in the Padma River. So he went to bathe in the Padma River. And when he went in the river, all of a sudden, it started flooding. And out from the waters of the river, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared in his beautiful golden form, and he embraced Narottam. And when he embraced him, Narottam, who had a blackish complexion, his complexion turned golden. And the love for the holy name that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had entered into Narottam's heart. And then he just started chanting, and then the form disappeared. And he came out of the water, and he just started chanting the holy name and dancing and chanting and dancing. And he fell to the ground. Where has that beautiful personality who has given me such love, where has he gone? How can I live even another moment without him? Where is he, Gauranga? And he started chanting the name of Gauranga with such love. And meanwhile, he spent the whole day like this. And his parents were looking everywhere. And they found him in such an intoxicated state. And they said, Narottam, what is happening? He said, a golden personality has come and embraced me and intoxicated me with this love. Where is this personality to be found? My dear parents, please grant me one favor. Let me leave behind all these attachments and let me go find that golden personality, Sri Gauranga, and take shelter of his lotus feet. So from then on, he was a very transformed person. And it is a very nice, beautiful story. But eventually he left and he went to Vrindavan. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to him again and told him, you should go to Vrindavan. And there, he appeared to him in a dream, and there you should take shelter of the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami, a great devotee of the Lord. So Narottam Das Thakur went to Vrindavan at a very young age. And when he arrived, Sri Jiva Goswami introduced him to Lokanath Das Goswami. And Lokanath Das Goswami prepared nice prasad for him and said, you kindly sit with me. And Narottam said, I cannot sit with you because I am not qualified, because I'm not even a Vaishnava. I have no guru. And then Lokanath asked him about his life story, and he told him about these wonderful pastimes that he had with the Lord. And Narottam said, what do you need guru for? Lord Gauranga, who is the supreme guru, Jagat Guru, he has embraced you and given you so much love and so much bhakti. What do you need guru for? And Narottam said, No, no. He said, I am very poor-hearted. I am very sinful. I am very lowly. By his causeless mercy, he has appeared like this. But what is my qualification? He has ordered me to accept you as my guru. So unless I follow that instruction, my life is useless. My life is a waste. So please, kindly accept me. Lokanath Goswami, he had already vowed never to make a disciple in his life. And besides that, Rupan Sanatan Goswamis had just left this world, so he was in such pangs of separation, he could not even consider. But at the same time, Narottam was asking with such love. So he said, all right, according to the Shastra, one should chant the holy name of the Lord very strictly according to vow for minimum 1 year before accepting Guru. So you do like that. Narottam said, I will do. But he had such a menial service attitude that when Lokanath Goswami would leave his bhajan kutir to perform his activities of responding to nature and so forth, Narottam would go clean his whole bhajan kutir, fill all his vessels with water, and then hide. So he would not know who has done. And then the place where he would go to respond to nature on the river bank, Narottam would go there in the middle of the night and clean it very immaculately. So Lokanath, what is this? Who is this? So one day, Lokanath was hiding in the bushes to see who it is, and there he saw young Narottam. So a year passed, and then another year passed. One day, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to Lokanath Das Goswami. And he told him, many years ago I told you that you should initiate this Narottam. Why? Because of your false sense of humility you are not doing. So shortly after that, Narottam approached him. And Lokanath asked, why are you so persistent? You are not begging me, but you are always just doing all this nice seva. Why are you so persistent? He said, just like a young girl, if she's in love with a man and she wants to marry that man, her mind is fixed, her consciousness is fixed in him and him alone. She cannot divert her mind away from him for a second. And she is always praying and begging her father, please allow me to marry this man. Said in the same way, I consider you my master, like my husband. And I have no interest other than serving you, other than surrendering to your every word. And therefore, I am constantly praying to my father, Sri Krishna, that he allows me to have you as my Gurudev. And when Lokanath Das Goswami heard these pleasing words, he became so satisfied that he said, all right, you can be my disciple. So this determination, Krishna says in Gita, Vyabhashayatmaka Budhir Eke Hakuru Nandana Bahusha Kahyanantascha Budhayo Vyabhashayanam. Those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. Those who are not properly situated in this path, their intelligence is many branched. Whatever the senses and the mind put before you, your intelligence goes that direction. So this is the proper understanding of how to utilize our time. With a determined vow in our life, we must keep our goal always fixed in the loving service of Krishna and his devotees. We must not let our mind deviate from that point for even a moment. Because if it does, That is the greatest tragedy, that is the greatest waste, that is the greatest loss in all of creation. One moment forgetting our relationship with Krishna. And it is this seriousness that is the price of pure love of God. It is this establishing of priority with determined vow that is the price of Krishna. Not to waste a second. And of course, in this age of Kali Yuga, it is described in Bhagavatam that the great saints and sages, they worship Kali Yuga. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's the Iron Age. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. It's the age when people are so much lazy, spiritually addicted to sinful activities, short-lived, less memory. Why would the sages worship Kali Yuga? Kalerdo sanidera janasti heka mahanguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha paramraje. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, God has made it so easy, Krishna has made it so simple for everyone to utilize their precious moments in his remembrance by simply chanting his holy name, by associating with his devotees and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. So factually, we should know that tonight we are with our real family. Our brothers and our sisters who are coming together to glorify our real father, Krishna, by chanting his name. Where the devotees come together for the exclusive purpose of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, that is the most auspicious place in all of creation. And where the devotees come together to chant the holy names of the Lord, it is not Kali Yuga. In fact, it is not even the material world. Golokera premadana harinama sankirtana. That the holy name has descended from Vaikuntha. And wherever the name is chanted, that becomes Vrindavan, the spiritual world. So let us never take a step out of Vrindavan. Let us always remember Krishna and always remember his holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.